Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
The best part about music is not just listening to it, but it's actually about sharing it, and I love coming across bands that when I hear them, I'm just, my first thought is to throw them out my friends, say, hey guys, listen to this, and I bombard it with them, and I make it so it's impossible to escape whatever band I've been listening to. And today I'm bringing to you Eidola, the prog rock group from Utah. I had the pleasure of sitting down with the frontman, Andrew Michael Wells, and chatting with him about touring with Dance Gavin Dance and writing for them in the studio, and how they're currently about to drop their third long play, produced by Drew Owens. Later on, the band's going to be playing South by Southwest, so if you're down in Texas, do not hesitate to go see them, because they are a treat for the ears, and honestly one of my favorite bands of all time. So, without further ado, this is episode 84 of Behind the Barricade with Kevin Pereira. Enjoy! It's easy to get lost, swimming through the currents of absolutes, of us and them. Now a history of vanity is all that we have left. And it's time to clean up the mess. This can't be all there is. We were born for so much more. Andrew, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. So, firstly, again, congratulations on having recorded your third long play with Mr. Drew Owens, right?
Yeah, thank you very much, man. Yeah, it was quite an experience, we're really, really happy with how everything came together.
So, how is this going to be different from Degeneratera, your second long play?
It's quite different in a lot of ways. If I gave you some info from our producer, Drew, he would say that we went harder in every possible way, meaning that the techie parts are more techie, the heavier parts are heavier, the softer parts are softer, the vocals are more intricate, more layering, a lot more dynamic, constructive production. So we just really took a lot of what people liked about our very first album and our first Blue Swan release, and we just tried to elevate that as best we could, and to really kind of blend both of our first albums together in a way, and just enhance that experience from a songwriting perspective. And I think performance-wise, I'm really proud of everybody in Eidola for really stepping it up and trying some new things. So we're really, really happy with it.
Right, because I remember when you guys came to Fredericksburg back in 2015, you guys performed the Omni, Contra, and the first, it was the first, and Omega, that's right.
Yeah,
In addition to Humble Ledger, and those four songs, despite the fact that they were only four songs, they were still a very good good idea of what Degenerate Era was from a musical standpoint and genre wise, right? At least that's the impression that I got when I listened to it in full.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we usually try to cater our sets to the crowd, the type of crowds that we're going to play, and with Degenerate Era, we tried to really encapsulate as best we could in those sets to really convey kind of what that was musically. So this new record is, yeah, very different in a lot of ways. I mean, Drew would call it jazz metal. He'd often refer to it as jazz metal, just because he couldn't quite put his finger on exactly how to classify the music. There are sections that are pretty heavy and techie, a lot of mixed meter type of things that you'd hear a lot of times in like prog music or prog rock, prog metal. But then we'd have some newer sections on this record that would contain a lot of jazz, a lot of fusion influences as well. So.
Right. And I imagine a lot of that comes from a lot of the mix when I heard your second album. A lot of the experimental side was very much on the lead guitar and Mr. Hansen's drum work.
Yeah, absolutely. And his Hansen's drum work on this new album is, I mean, he's just elevated as a performer in a lot of ways. Taking in even more influences from both he listens to a lot of Meshuggah and really heavy thrash metal, but then he also listens to some jazz, some Snarky Puppy, to kind of freshen his chops up in both those directions. And so he really brought a lot to the table in that regard as well.
Oh man, dude, I'm excited to hear this record. I don't think I once told you, like, when I met you then, that I picked up your record and I was sold from like the first track. It was some amazing stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
So that brings me to my next question. You were the touring and studio musician for Dance Gavin Dance for what seems like since they dropped Instant Gratification when they were touring in support of the record, and you've been with them since, aiding them in that process. Could you tell me a little about how you got started with them, right? And more to the point, how has that affected your music writing when you bring whatever you've worked on in DGD to, say, Idola?
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, great question. In terms of how I got started with Dance Gavin Dance, Will is the owner of Blue Swan, as you probably already know.
Yes, sir.
He picked up Idola and signed us on for two albums. And we went in to record Degenerate Era, and I did a lot of the guitar work on that record. And he would come into the studio and kind of supervise and offer some insight as a producer. As I was laying down, tracks and recording vocals, recording guitar, I think he saw me in that process, and obviously he seemed to like what he heard. And when they cycled through some different touring guitar players, he had come to me when they were about to do their 10-year anniversary tour with Johnny and Kurt. And he asked me, hey, we don't have a touring guitar player right now. Would you be interested in filling the slot? And it kind of was just magic from there. I've just been with them ever since in terms of the touring and any of the off shows, in terms of festivals. Like we did South by So What last year. We're doing that again this year.
Nice.
And then we also did a festival in Las Vegas and a few tours. I just got back from doing the 10-year anniversary in Europe with them and the Mothership tour, which were both just a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And they're all great guys. They're really, really easy for me to get along with. They're all extremely talented. It's cool to see that side of things. So working on Mothership was really awesome. And it's the biggest thing for me, to answer the last part of your question, which is how has that impacted my writing with Idola? it's definitely impacted it in a really positive way, and I think you'll hear a lot of that influence on the new album too. When it comes to Dance Gavin Dance, I mean, you have so many guitar players that have cycled through that band and so many influences that they've brought to the table, like Zachary Guerin, Josh Benton, Martin Bianchini, and Will himself have all contributed a ton of content to Dance Gavin over the years. So whenever I go in and have to do a set with Dance, I'll have to learn something from somebody. So whether it's stuff off the Death Star album or stuff off of Downtown Battle Mountain 2, I've learned a little bit of each of those guitar players' styles. And so that's kind of influenced me in a lot of ways, you know, whether it's some funk rhythms from Zach or just some wild guitar playing from Martin or Will. That's definitely challenged me and pushed me as a guitar player to think outside the box, and I definitely wanted to bring that to the table with Idola's new record and push the tech side of things a little heavier and a little further for sure.
I like that. Yeah, I imagine that you'll actually be embarking on your on the tour with DG and Sean coming up, right?
Yep, that's right.
All right. That sounds like it's going to be a ton of fun. When does it kick off?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of work. I'm doing two sets a night for that one, so it'll be challenging, but it'll be good. We kick off the tour in Albuquerque on February 24th, and then that one goes until March 18th, and then we have a little tour that we're announcing next week out to South by Southwest. For Idola, so it's a little side tour, a little routing tour right after out to South by Sola, and I'm doing both bands at that show as well.
Right, which is actually a great segue into this next question about being on tour and the lifestyle associated with a musician on tour. You know, I see a lot of things like digital tour bus and a lot of, you know, musicians, they bring weightlifts with them. They have, you know, protein. Some of them, you know, have stocked themselves, you know, with plenty of libation to go and, you know, keep themselves occupied, and they bring books and stuff. Can you take me through a day of touring with, say, Idola or DGD?
They're drastically different. Touring with Idola, we tour in a 15 passenger van. We pull like a 6x10 trailer. We usually keep ourselves occupied. We bring Nintendo DSs on the tours and a couple free weights, so we get some exercise in. We try to eat healthy as well. Our guitar player Matt actually built, he and I built these, it's like a sectioned off portion of our trailer where we have where we store food, and we have a grill and some other amenities that really help us to stay sane and stay healthy on the road as much as possible. I mean, you know, you get a lot of bands that will just eat fast food all the time. It just takes such a toll on your body and your psyche when you're eating McDonald's every goddamn day.
Right. Jeez. So,
yeah, we try to balance it out, especially our guitar player Brandon. You know, he's very health conscious and tries to eat really well, so he keeps me on the level a lot of the time and keeps me healthy. So with Dance Gavin, it's a little easier to do that, just because we usually tour in a bandwagon or a bus, so the amenities are increased. So you have a fridge and a freezer and a microwave and a bunk that's really comfortable with its own outlet and a bathroom and a shower and things that just it makes it feel like you're, you know, you have a hotel everywhere you go, and so it does make it a little easier and less taxing on the body when you're touring with a band like that. So you know, they're two different worlds, but they have their benefits and downsides for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd imagine that being, you know, occupying yourself with both bands, that means that you're very much, I don't know, there's rarely a time when you have a chance to go and catch your breath and say, okay, I'm gonna take a few weeks, take a month off, you know, rest off and spend time with my family, and then before I get back to it. I'd imagine that you have to, that it becomes very time management dependent, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. My wife is not a huge fan of the double duty, but she is, she's great. She supports me wholeheartedly and really helps me through those long stretches of time. But, yeah, I try not to take my time at home for granted at all. I try to get a lot done while I'm here. And, you know, I fill that time with writing and exercise and just really trying to decompress when I'm home and relax when I have my off months, which are, yeah, definitely, like you said, few and far between for sure.
But yeah, when you have that break, you have that break. So
So
let's and you mentioned songwriting inspirations. I remember I had previously tried to pick your brain a couple months back on, you know, your opinions on music and how they intertwine with religion, for example. And I remember you gave me this, you know, lovely essay about it. Could you tell me how you guys advertise yourself as existential experimentation and how that has made itself unique to your identity as a band?
Yeah, it's multifaceted in a lot of ways. Within Idola, we each kind of have some different views on many different things. I mean, we have a couple of Christians in the band, and you know.
Andrew, can you hear me? Recording again. All right, where were we, sir?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, I can hear you loud and clear.
Kind of a major part of Idola. We each have different views and viewpoints pertaining to religion and spirituality in general, and I think that always plays into our lyrical content and kind of what we try to convey as a band. A lot of that really comes down to the exploration of those ideas, not necessarily subscribing to or trying to convey one particular idea over the other. You know, we have a couple of guys in the band that are Christian and you know, have other viewpoints, and so for us, when we sit down and write songs, especially within the narrative of a concept album, we don't try to subscribe to one exact creed or one exact idea. It's more of an exploration from an anecdotal standpoint of how can we explore these different ideas, what effects do they have on the people that do subscribe to them, what potential positive outcomes do they have for people that may not or may have differing ideas. And let's also play the devil's advocate and try to explore them from another perspective as well.
Sort of like trying to start a conversation, I'd imagine.
Exactly. Yep. You hit the nail right on the head. I wish I could tell you the name of the album and really give you the insight into the concept, but that's exactly right, to start a conversation.
Right, and I'd imagine you can't give me too many details without giving the whole thing away. But
not quite yet. Yeah, yeah. We're working out an exact release date on right now, and they're into leading up to the actual record itself. But we are very close to being able to announce that.
I see. Can you, looking back at your previous two releases, Degeneratera and your self-titled EP up on Bandcamp, can you pinpoint to me those examples in which you brought those same influences on religion and viewpoints into, you know, specific songs? Like, as I listened to Degeneratera, I found, you know, songs such as The Great Deception of Marquise and Divide and Compromise to be reflective of those ideas that you're talking about right now. Would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. An even more direct comparison would be like Humble Ledger Gnostic States, which focuses on the concept of Gnosticism, and explores those ideas within the concept itself. So there's definitely, if I did an interview with a blog called Teal Cheese a while back.
Oh, yeah, I remember Teal Cheese.
Yeah, and it goes pretty in depth into the concept with the duality and kind of this broad overarching multifaceted concept. And Humble Ledger kind of very, very directly speaks about Gnosticism, and that type of heretical movement within the second century of the Christian church. And so it really, really talks about that and plays with that duality. I will say that the new album is still within that spirit. There's even more direct comparisons, and it makes it a little bit, how do I put this? It makes it a little bit easier to digest in a lot of ways. And the way that I would compare the two would be, there's an author named Richard Alpert. A lot of people know him as Ram Dass, and he's written a couple of different books over the years. A lot on meditation and things like that. He grew up and went to college with a guy named Timothy Leary, and they kind of pioneered in the 60s and 70s this mentality about psychedelic drugs. They pioneered test research with LSD and psilocybin and DMT. And Timothy Leary is in pop culture. He kind of kept going on that route for a long time, whereas Ram Dass, he went the meditation route. He went and met with the Maharishi and started meditating quite a bit. And by going that route, he'd gotten over psychedelic drugs and found the doors of perception and started getting into a lot of like Aldous Huxley and just perennial philosophy in general.
I love
and
Aldous Huxley.
He wrote two pretty prominent books, and that's how I like to think about these two records now that I can kind of compare the two. Degenerate Terra is similar to Ram Dass's book Be Here Now, which is it's if you ever get the chance to read it, it's an amazing book. It has this middle section that's all illustrated. It's just beautiful illustrations, very, very psychedelic, very introspective, very abstract, kind of tongue-in-cheek. It just makes you think. And he followed that book up with another book called Grist for the Mill. And Grist for the Mill is, it's very short, it's very practical, it's detailed, but it's to the point. It's very concise. And I would say that conceptually, Degenerate Terra and this new album are similar in their themes, but would be metaphorically compared to those two books. Degenerate Terra has this big overarching concept with a lot of intricacies that may be a little bit harder to understand if you're foreign to those concepts. Whereas, and they're not as personal per se. Whereas this new album takes a lot of those similar themes and it personifies them. It's very, very practical. It's very to the point in a lot of ways and more personal. It's like a personal application to some of those philosophies and some of those conversations that we've had within the band and with people we've met all over the world, all over the country on tour and all over the world in multiple countries.
That's awesome, dude. I honestly can't wait to hear it, and I'm sure that our listeners share the same empathy.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm really excited to get it out. It's by far the best thing that we've ever been a part of, and Drew Owens was just an absolute delight to work with. He was phenomenal. He pushed us all in a lot of really good ways, and you know, his input as a producer just really helped us refine those ideas and you know, accomplish what we wanted to and convey what we wanted to with that album. So
when it came down to when it came down to putting together this album, what can you tell me about the actual recording process? Like, how did you and the band members get together? Did you, how long did you spend over the parts? Things like that. Like, from your standpoint, how would you describe the process itself? Was it strenuous? Was it things like that?
Some of the guys would probably say it was strenuous. I would say it was just it was a lot of fun. It was hard work, but it was fun work. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing. In terms of the writing process, each album has kind of evolved in terms of how we've written it, but the core writing process usually stays the same, which is I have these crazy ideas and I sit down in a room and just write. And sometimes it's on an acoustic guitar, sometimes it's on a piano, sometimes it's you know, with a microphone, sometimes it's just with a pen and paper writing thoughts, ideas, poems, things of that nature. Usually what will happen is I'll write a core song structure, a skeleton, and I'll have lyrics, a melody, and usually the main guitar line done. I'll bring that to Matt Hansen, our drummer, who will basically kind of pick over it with me and do some first draft editing, make sure the structure's there, make sure that it's a good song, make sure it's functional. And then he'll write the drums to it, and then we'll bring the idea to the rest of the band and let them kind of pick apart and write their own parts, and we collaborate and edit together. With this album, we did all 12 songs were completely pre-production that we recorded ourselves. So we went in and we recorded all the drums, all the guitars, the vocals, the screaming vocals that Matt does, the bass. We did all of that ourselves here in Utah. And we recorded the entire album and we sent it to Drew and we said, hey, you know, are there any of these songs that you want to scrap? Is there anything that you want to edit right off the bat? Is there anything that you want to take and revamp or redo? And Drew, you know, he had some really good suggestions and he was able to kind of point us in the right direction and help us edit a couple of sections here and there and kind of give that outside perspective. And so we recorded the whole album once, got it ready for Drew, and then we spent the last 6 weeks in Sacramento with him just laying everything down, you know, for the final product. So
that's amazing. And yeah, dude, from what you've been telling me about it, all of this work goes into the, went into, like, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this record, right?
Oh, for sure, man. We slept in our van outside of Drew's house for 6 straight weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah, we were very dedicated to the process. You know, sometimes you work with certain engineers or producers that they have a living quarters. Like, I know Chris Crummett, I've been to his studio. It's great. It's phenomenal. He has a big living quarters. And sometimes you get someone like Drew Owens, who is beyond talented in every stretch, and he has all the equipment and he has, this great space for you to record, but you know, he hasn't made an Issues record or, a Mothership Dance Gavin Dance record that sold 20,000 copies first week quite yet. So he, you know, he doesn't have the amenities of a living quarters quite yet. And so, but we were dedicated, we wanted to work with him. And so we drove out from Salt Lake City and drove to Sacramento and we stayed in that van, for 6 weeks. And, we would work 6 days a week, usually 8 to 12 hours a day. Just doing our best to make the best possible music that we could. Even down to the wire. I mean, we booked the time and we went over 2 weeks so that we could make sure that this was the best thing that we could do. And my vocals, my chords almost gave out. There was one day where I sang for I did 6 songs, essentially of just harmonies and lead vocals and layering and all this stuff. And I did 6 songs. I spent 10 straight hours in the booth. Just singing my ass off. And we went to go and try to track another song. It was like basically our second to last day in the studio. And my vocal cords gave out. it was like trying to push air through paper. It just sounded terrible. And so I forced myself to not talk for about 20 hours and came back in for the final day and was able to lay it down somehow and make it work. But yeah, we did a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for sure in this record. Like just a lot of passion and a lot of hard work.
Dude, well, I'm so glad to hear that. And as we wind this interview down, I wanted to ask, do you have anything to anyone that's listening, that you have anything that you want to plug to our listeners? Do you have, I understand that you do singing lessons for a set fee via Skype.
I do. Yeah. I actually, when I'm home, I offer, very affordable, vocal lessons. All of my clients, have positive reviews. They like working with me. I love taking on new clients and really helping people to come into their own, as a musician. And really, especially vocally, since, you know, it's an instrument that's a part of you. It's all about expressing yourself and doing it in an honest way. So, that's, you know, something I really, really enjoy. So, as far as anything else, Dance Gavin Dance Chon Idolator, coming around the U.S. and then South by So What, March 26th. And we will be announcing tons of stuff for this album, so be on the lookout for that very, very soon. We're going to be doing a music video for the first single with a guy named Michael Rex Carbonell.
Yeah, Michael. He's the photographer for A Lot Like Birds and recently did a tour with 21 Pilots for their Emotional Roadshow.
That's right. Tour. Yeah, he's a great friend of ours. We're really looking forward to working with him. He's going to be doing a lot of helping us do a lot of branding and aesthetic for this record that we're really looking forward to. So, be on the lookout for that. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of the above.
All right. And again, if people wanted to get your lessons, where would they go?
You can email me at andrewmichaellessons@gmail.com.
Awesome. All right. And any parting thoughts, any parting ideas, Mr. Wells?
Thank you very much for your time. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
No, this was a good conversation, sir. And I can't wait to either see you guys on the road and can't wait to hear this new sound you've got coming out.
Me too, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts once it's out, man. I'm really excited.
Yeah, we at Behind the Barricade do album reviews. Do album reviews now. Last year, since I only had just recently started, I did a top five of 2016, and among that were Seosin, Norma Jean, Mothership, and Architects.
Architects, I've been listening to them nonstop recently, man. Such a great band.
That's what I'm saying. All Our Gods was fantastic.
It blew my mind. I've been listening to that record a ton lately. Just the guitar work on it's great. The vocal work is phenomenal. It's just a great record.
I've listened to it enough times that now I've started to I've checked out a couple of other songs that had the lead vocalist Tom Searles, and I know it's him just when I hear that signature bleh.
Yeah, that bleh.
But yeah, this if it comes our way, you know, hit us up, because we will most certainly be happy to do an album review for this.
Sweet. Yeah, man. Yeah, I will definitely keep you in the loop for sure. We're going to be doing a lot of promo for it. So, yeah, you'll probably be one of the first to get your hands on it.
Fantastic. I can't wait, Andrew. You take care, and you have a good evening, sir.
You too, man. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
First, we must prove we can work. That we are deserving of the balance and the sacred dirt. 'Cause our constitution is buried in the soil, while our ambition seeks to ascertain and toil. And the heart. Thank you.
to you.